Welcome to the Edge of Reality. Where's your edge? Give it up for your host, Allie.
Good evening, everyone. It is Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific, and that means we are live, the Edge of Reality, here on the NDB Media Channel on Blog Talk Radio. Happy Thursday to you all. It means that we are right here. It's the weekend, so happy weekend to you all as well. Yeah, fun show tonight. We have a lot to discuss. I'm all caught up on the challenge, which, you know, means that I have a lot of thoughts on it. We got to talk about that this week. I want to get a little bit more in depth on So You Think You Can Dance tonight, especially since we have the Academy, we have these new rules, we have this hybrid of rules from the junior season that's kind of going on to into the adult season. And spoiler alert, I'm really loving this season, so I want to give it some time and effort. We're obviously going to talk some Big Brother because, hey, you know, that's how we roll in the summer. And we'll see what else that we have time for. There's a bunch of other stuff I would love to kind of discuss a little bit. Before we get into anything else, though, I want to say good evening and hello to my producer, Priscilla. Hey, Priscilla, what's going on this evening?
Hey, Allie, not a whole heck of a lot. But I don't know. I kind of think that we need to just talk more about other reality shows because I'm so over Big Brother.
Yeah, I mean, we were discussing this off air before our show started, and this has to be for me probably the least interested I've been in a season of Big Brother in my life, and well, in the 19 seasons that that the show has been on. And I've watched, for the record, I am the true super fan. I'm not the super fan that I started on season 17. I mean, I've watched every single season. I have to say, you know, there, and I can't put my finger on it, and I'd love to talk to you about it, and I don't want to, like, complain or be overly negative about it, because I there are some bright spots. I want to talk about those too. The show is always close to my heart, but I can't put my finger exactly what it is. I mean, and we can break that down first if you would like. Before we do anything else, before I forget, I just want to remind people that you can join our conversation at any time, no matter when you're listening. You can do it on our Facebook page, The Edge of Reality. You can like us on that and submit comments and talk to us. On Twitter, you can get a hold of both of us. I am at Reality Allie. That's Reality Allie. And Priscilla is at Prisla. And, join our conversation as you're listening. It doesn't matter if you're listening live on, you know, the Thursday night, 10 o'clock Eastern, or if you're listening on our archives on iTunes or Blog Talk Radio. You can absolutely let us know what you're thinking, what you're watching, what your thoughts are. And, we can definitely added to the discussion, because I love when people bring different things to the table and things that I haven't thought about. So, Priscilla, are we jumping right into Big Brother?
Sure, go for it.
Okay, so, you know, we're kind of at the season. We had an extra episode this week. It started out with Friday night. We had Battle Back with Cody coming back into the house. Not very surprising considering, you know, his competition. That's such a sad thing to say. You know, we didn't really see Cameron do much competing, so we didn't really know, you know, what he could be. And full, you know, those two challenges that they did, the labyrinth and the slingshot, I thought that they were very evenly matched comps. It didn't, you know, I thought that, you know, anyone could win those if you had the right technique. However, I didn't feel that they were crapshoot, you know, any, you know, random drawing someone wins. I thought in general they were pretty good competitions for someone to come back on. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, like weight wise, I don't know how hard it was with the pulleys and stuff, but you know, a female had just as good a chance to win as the guys did, because those are pretty, you know, just getting that. The challenge is getting out how the mechanisms work. So yeah, and the crapshoot there again on shooting the balls at the billboard. So,
but I don't think that was so much a crapshoot. I thought that, you know, there was a technique involved with it, and like it wasn't like a random, you know. So we've
a little
we've
bit
seen
of technique, not a lot of it. I mean,
yeah, I know it wasn't the most. It wasn't the most technique, but it was a pretty, I think it gave everybody an even playing field,
right.
But it wasn't a competition that was like, okay, roll the ball and whoever gets closest to the bullseye, you know what I mean? It was a little bit more than that. Now, last year we saw Victor coming back with the HOH competitions that people went out on, you know. Somebody was evicted, and then that night they had another HOH, and they would compete on those. And, I mean, I liked that better. I thought that was kind of cool and interesting. I, you know, timing-wise, I had to think about this because, you know, last year they did it. There was five people, so there was even more, like, competitions. They had to do, like, set up and tear down on a lot more things. I was like, how long did it take them to film that? Because for this show, it was a relatively small setup. They were on lockdown for like days at a time to get this all kind of happening. And I thought, oh my God, like that setup last year must have been crazy. That's why they probably didn't do it again. But so we had these two comps. My one issue with the Friday night show, I like the battle back just for because you don't know what's going to happen. It's the one time, you know, if you're a feed watcher, the advantages of being a feed watcher are, you know, you get to see everybody kind of three-dimensionally. You get to, you know, get hear strategy talks. You get to see what people are thinking. But the negatives are, by Saturday, will know how the entire week is going to play out, you know. So shows like this, the special battle back episodes, they're like the one time when we really don't know anything. We really don't know how it's going to play out. So that's kind of exciting. So I liked that. The only rough part was I thought it was pretty dragged out. I wish there was a third competition that took three people to two people. I think there was enough time to do that and still have enough time to have everybody vote Paul in to compete against Cody. But that would be my only, like, criticism of the show itself. I thought there was too many segments of them, you know, thinking about it and talking about it and, you know, all of that kind of stuff. So Cody comes back in. There was no doubt that they were going to put Paul in. We knew that Paul actually said put me in. I think it's funny as hell that Jessica said put Paul in too. But, you know, Cody is the type of guy that just, like, he'll go, you know, he'll take it on anybody. It's not a big deal. Cody comes back in the house. Jessica wins HOH. And now here we go. Underdogs, they have all this power, and they put up Ramses and Josh. I mean, what the hell? Ramses and Josh. Now, Josh was very much an emotional choice for them. They hate Josh. Josh has caused them lots of problems. Josh is like the polar opposite of Cody. You know, Ramses was an absolutely ridiculous nomination. He was like one of the few people that were not coming after them. And of course, Paul loves Josh because Josh will do anything Paul says. He wants to keep Josh. He has problems with Ramses because Ramses is one of the few people in the house that he can't get a read on. He can't really puppeteer the way that he wants. So, of course, everybody's going to vote out Ramses. I don't understand why the people that were shocked by this, mostly, you know, Cody, Jessica, Mark, and Elena, were even shocked that this was going to happen. I don't understand. I mean, so this kind of goes back to the gameplay. Are we just seeing really, really, really bad gameplay? Are these people just really, really bad at this? Or is Paul just really, really good? And I can't figure it out. I don't know which one it is. And maybe it's a combination of both. But because of the combination of Paul being very, very good at this and the rest of the house being very, very bad at this, it's making for a really, really bad season. Priscilla, thoughts?
I don't think that Paul is that really, really good. I think that the cast this season is just very, very lame, and they're letting – there's who – I mean, and I would never thought that I would be, like, rooting for the underdogs as with Jody, Cody and – Jeff, and now Mark and Elena, evidently the four of them have got back together. I couldn't believe that they actually stuck with that. But anyways, you know, I don't know. I mean, I'm rooting for Jess and Cody because they're an underdog, because that's how we always usually gravitate to. And
yeah,
I don't agree with everything that Cody does. I think Jess would have been better off with him out of the game. But
oh, 100%.
I just think that everybody's playing the lame duck. Let Paul do everything. I don't think that he's that great of a player. I think that they're just letting him do it because they're sky, you know, they don't have to do anything that way. They don't actually have to play the game until it comes down to it, you know? And then there are actually some things that Paul gets credit for, and Paul really shouldn't have got credit for.
But
the thing that Edit is he's the man. It's Paul's game to lose all of the help that he's getting from CBS.
Don't know how you guys it,
but he is getting help.
Let's talk. We can talk about, you brought up a lot of things. I completely agree with you about this idea of Cody and Jess being underdogs, because they're not the traditional underdogs.
Huh.
So it's very interesting to like have these two people as underdogs. And it's the one kind of interesting thing, caveat of the season, that this is kind of, they're not the traditional underdogs, but they're,
you know,
very hard to root.
It takes me back to actually Jeff and Jordan, how the whole house was against them, and Jordan
right.
went on to win the game. So
right.
we'll see.
Right.
I think Cody is Jess's nemesis, but maybe he can push her further into the game, and we have the same scenario. Who knows?
The thing with Jeff and Jordan against the rest of the house was that happened a little bit later in the game. For the first part of the game, they were in a much better position than Cody and Jessica are. So that's, I agree with you that could possibly happen.
The only reason Jeff was safe is because of the group he was with. Otherwise, they all wanted him out. So
well,
I wouldn't
right.
necessarily.
That's what I'm saying. But he was still safe. So he was in a good position, even though socially it wasn't good. But
right.
he was still, like, they were still relatively safe. Jessica and Cody are pretty exposed. Now, Jessica has a power. She still has this halting hex. So they do have something in their back pocket. You know, that will save them for this one week. But it's not going to save them the next week and the week after that and the week after that. You know what I mean? That at a certain point, you know, that's not going to save them. I don't think that they're going to be able to get a ton further. I think Jessica's the worst thing that could have happened to Jessica is Cody coming back in the game. You know, I think that Jessica could have kind of blended into the woodwork a little bit. And I think, you know, she would have been HOH regardless of if Cody came back or not. And then, you know, I think that she would have thought out different scenarios a little bit better without Cody being there. Maybe things would have turned out a little differently. Maybe she would have been able to reestablish relationships. I think it would have been a better situation for her. So that's going to be a problem. Cody is her Achilles heel 100%. I think the one rootable aspect about Cody and Jessica in terms of being underdogs are that they're underdogs that can fight and win comps. I think we tend to go for underdogs, and the reason people are underdogs is that there's like the likelihood of them winning comps is small. And, you know, I think one of the reasons that it's actually enjoyable to root for them is that they actually have a much better shot of winning comps. Both of them, like Jessica and Cody, are both very capable of winning comps. So that's nice. That's a good thing. Paul, I think is playing a very solid game. You know, I think he's setting things up well. I think it's going to eventually catch up with them just because he's allowing so much blood to get on his hands. I think he thinks that he didn't win last year because people thought he didn't do enough in the game. And so he's trying to counteract that by like every single decision, every single person going home, he's like directly stabbing them. And it doesn't need to happen that way. And I think it works right now because there's still plenty of outsiders. He can knock out Jason without a problem. He can knock out Cody and Jessica without a problem. He can knock out Alex, you know, without a problem. But when we get to this, like, Christmas, Raven, Matt, oh, Mark and Elena, he can knock out. But there's only going to be so much blood he can get into his hands before it affects the jury. So I don't know if this jury is going to be, at the end of the day, if this jury is going to be like super bitter, or if this jury is going to be like so entranced with Paul that they're going to want him to win no matter what. I'm not quite sure yet. I'm not completely convinced that Paul's going to make it all the way to the end. I think he's a great like double eviction candidate. I think that, you know, even this week on the feeds, we're starting to see more and more people acknowledging that Paul is, you know, he's leading the charge. They're going along with decisions that are not always the best interest of the individual person. Matt especially is starting to kind of think, you know, why am I going to necessarily vote out Ramses? You know, Ramses is not coming after me. You know, he's, you know, a good guy. I have a relatively good relationship with him. You know, Josh is more of a loose cannon. Why, you know, what's in it for me? And, you know, he still did it anyway. But, I mean, he's starting to wake up to the fact that, you know, all decisions that he's making are ultimately not benefiting him. And maybe if they wake up soon enough, something can happen with that. So that's that point. Second point that you made was about Christmas. I completely agree. Christmas is playing a very similar game to Paul with way less blood on her hands. And a lot more, she's much better at the social aspect of it than he is. She's very slow and deliberate. She kind of gets her point across, but she'll have, you know, Paul's more rapid fire, run to one group, run to another, talk to this person, talk to that person. She's a little bit more deliberate. And she's getting zero credit for any of the stuff that she's doing right now on the CBS show. So, you know, it's good to acknowledge the fact that Christmas is playing a good game, and she no one's really going to get to see that from the CBS edit. I'm surprised. I kind of thought about this before, and when I was watching feeds, I kind of put it in the chat. Like, I would think that they would want Christmas as a character. They know she's popular. She won one of the temptations. You know, we have Paul and we have Josh, and they're kind of the heroes of the CBS show. You would think that they would want to diversify a little bit and add Christmas to the mix, add a couple more people. Because what happens with Big Brother every season, because it's a live show, you know, when a show is produced and it's been filmed months in advance, they have time to do the storytelling. They'll be able to, like, go back and foreshadow and do all this stuff. Big Brother doesn't have that luxury. So what happens is, you know, we get to, like, final six, and there's, like, at least one person who they never highlighted. And all of a sudden they have to, like, highlight the hell out of them because, you know, they're still in the game and they're still doing it. I think, you know, I'm surprised that Big Brother or that CBS is not doing that a little bit more, highlighting some more of the characters, not necessarily putting all their eggs in Paul's basket. I just find that interesting, Priscilla.
Yeah, no, all the eggs are in the Paul basket.
Yeah, I'm just surprised because if he goes home, you know, and he's not going to go home anytime soon, but, you know, if he goes home in a situation, you know, they really won't have anyone to kind of step up to the plate, so to speak, for the show. You're not going to know anyone. It's our biggest pet peeve, you know, in The Voice, or in, you know, when you don't know any of these people, and all of a sudden they're in these final rounds, and you've never seen them perform, and you're like, where the hell do they come from? We're going to get a lot of that as the show progresses, where all of a sudden, you know, if Elena makes a run, or, you know, Matt makes a run, or Jason makes a run, we're going to be like, where the hell did they come from? How did this happen? So I wish that they kind of spread that out a little bit more. So I don't know. I like I said, I can't put my finger on it exactly. I don't know what it is about this season. You know, we've seen people dominate seasons before. Let's look at Derek on Big Brother 16 as a great example of that. You know,
Derek was that good. And it wasn't CBS helping out making him look that good. There was a lot of things that they believe that Derek didn't get credit for that actually Derek did do on the CBS part.
I will say that they edited Derek very well in the beginning. That led to Derek being on Team America along with Frankie and Donnie. Those three guys got the biggest and best edit, and there's no vets on that season, so it was a free-for-all. So, and those three guys, Ariana Grande's brother, the guy with the beard, and the undercover cop were the three, and they became Team America, and that helped him a great deal throughout the game. So I would disagree that Derek, you know, was doing all that stuff. And I would also, you know, the season wasn't super strong with players either.
Right.
Derek was great. He deserved a win. I am not taking that away from him. But I'm just saying that he got help his season too.
And
you know,
Derek didn't have have a season to try to figure it out ahead of time either. That was his first
season. Absolutely. Oh, 100%.
You know, he didn't get a repeat.
100%. You know, and Derek was very, very good. Let's not get, but, you know, to say that CBS's edited version doesn't help the people that they spotlight is crazy. You know,
his head is going to be so swollen when he gets out. And if he doesn't win again, then we're going to have to listen to him whine and cry about how he deserved it and didn't get it like the last time. It's just, I'm not looking forward to the Paul train when he gets out.
Well, you know, I'm not so worried about when he gets out because we don't have to see. You know what I mean? Like, I don't follow him on social media. I don't have to see it.
Yeah, I don't.
I didn't love him last season. I don't love him this season as, you know, a personality. I don't need... You know, and I don't think, you know, I don't need a guy yelling catchphrases in my life. So it's kind of like James last year, where I didn't need a guy playing pranks. But James was a fan favorite for a reason. Paul is a fan favorite for a reason. The people that watch the regular show absolutely love him. So I can't discount that. You know, I can't, you know, the feed watchers, if you're watching feeds, you're watching it for very different things. You know, if you're watching the show, you're definitely watching it for the entertainment value. So, yeah, like, you know, let Paul yell friendship one more time. Like, go for it. Let Josh yell meatballs one more time. Like, go for it. But, you know, that doesn't do it for me. That's not my scene. I don't care how he acts when he gets out because, you know, I don't follow him. It doesn't bother me one way or another. But, you know, we'll see what happens with it. I'm not mad. You know, like, he gets to a certain point where it's like, well, they're letting him win, so, you know, good for him, you know, but I think it's too early in the season to be like, oh God, well, you know, they're letting him win the game, so, you know, good on him, who, you know, they're literally just laying down and letting him win, so it's like, who wouldn't take that opportunity to do it? I would. I'd be like, thanks, everyone. Thank you very much, Matt. Thank you very much, Raven. Thank you very much. And, you know, now I'll win the game. So you can't be mad at that. You can't be mad at that.
I can. I don't have to watch.
What?
I don't. I said I can be mad at it, but I don't have to watch it, so I'm not.
Well, that's it. Like, that's what you choose to do. Now, you need to keep up with it because, you know, we do a show about reality podcasts. So, you know, keep up with it. But to the level in which you can keep up with, it varies. You know, there's a lot of content. So you can keep up with it in a lot of different ways. So, you know, like listening to us and we can give you, I mean, I gave you in, you know, 10 minutes, a very quick breakdown of how the week went down. That was it.
Right.
But we left this live episode with Paul once again being HOH. It was literally thrown to him. And, you know, we'll see. It'll be interesting because Paul did make a deal with Cody and Jessica that they would kind of keep each other safe until jury. I think that at least one of them goes up anyway, if not both. Paul was, when he was speaking to himself, seriously considering keeping that deal. I think that he should really seriously consider about it from a gameplay perspective because Cody is going to be a nice meat shield for him. Paul doesn't have someone to stand behind, except for maybe Josh. You know, I think Paul uses Josh as that meat shield in the hopes that Josh will go home before Paul does. But I don't know if Josh is going to be the biggest meat shield.
No.
But Cody could be. So for him, I think that he needs Cody more than he thinks. So
well, yeah.
if I,
I mean,
were,
look at look at who's already been HOH, Jess, Cody, and Paul, you know, so nobody else is trying to win to keep him safe.
Well, exactly. So I think that if Paul was really, it would be interesting to see if Paul decides to make a move. And then who? I think Mark would be someone that he could very easily throw up. Paul has gotten out of a lot of his targets already because Ramsey's was the guy that he was really gunning after, and he got him out this week. My gut tells me it's Mark and Cody, but it could be Cody and Jessica. I could possibly even see a situation where he throws Kevin up there as a pawn. He has a lot of intel on Kevin. He's the only one in the house that knows that Kevin has won the $25,000. He knows that Kevin has done the hinky votes. He knows all this stuff about Kevin, that it would be very easy for him to blow up Kevin's game without a problem. So I think, you know, maybe he could throw him up there as a pawn and say, oh, I'll backdoor Cody. You know, you can, you know, because I don't think that Cody will necessarily be one of the first nominees up. They'll try to backdoor him, which is exactly what they did last, you know, week two, is they backdoored him.
I would love to see Jess and Cody on the block at the end of the week. She uses that hex, stops the eviction, and then at that point, the four, Mark, Elena, Cody, and Jess, all can participate in an HOH, and then we can start seeing some balancing come back into the act. I don't think that they won't take a shot the second time after Paul, to be honest with you. I think that with this vote and the House going against them, I don't think that they're going to feel like they owe anybody anything. And I think we're going to see things start to change.
I would love to think that that was true. I just don't know if they have learned. I just don't know if they're smart enough players to get that. Now, they're kind of in a situation now where, like I said, there's less people, you know, there isn't a Ramses to pick on anymore. So, you know, you got to put up, you know, Kevin's kind of in the background. You know, maybe he goes up. Alex and Jason are kind of just there. You know, maybe that happens. You know, there could be some interesting combinations of people. Alex, the volunteers, pawns without a problem. I mean, they were just like, sure, we'll go up. And then they backdoored Cody, and that's what happened. I feel like if the goal is to get Cody out, a very similar thing will happen. They'll put up, maybe this time he'll put up Mark. He would be really dumb to put up Elena because Elena really loves him and trusts him. And, you know, I think that he could work with Elena, but you know, maybe he'll put up a Mark and Elena. Maybe he'll put up Mark and Jessica. Maybe he'll put up Mark and Jason. But I think his ultimate goal would be put up Cody. But like I said, that's not – I don't think that that's in his best interest. I really think what is Paul's best interest is knock out one of these showmans. You know, knock out – I mean, Matt and Raven would be an excellent thing for him to knock out. You know, I think Christmas is someone who's going to give him a run for his money. I think maybe he should think about that. I just don't think he'll do it this week. So we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens. It could become an interesting week if he thinks about it a little bit and doesn't go for, like, the easy answer. But last time he went with the easy answer. So we'll see what happens. I want to switch gears. I want to talk about the challenge because the challenge, Dirty 30, is up and running. 30 contestants. They're kind of making it like these are the dirtiest players of all time. That's kind of their branding. I really don't love the fact that they say things like that, but yet there's still people that, like, there's rookies participating. There's people that have never been on a challenge before. It's like, clearly they're not the 30 dirtiest players of all time if some of them have never played before. But I digress. I always think about that. I'm like, how can these people be the dirtiest players that have ever played if they've never actually played the game before? But I'm missing, you know, I would have liked to have seen this more of like an all-star thing, if anything, and maybe pull. I love the fact that they pulled some people out of retirement. I mean, we've talked about this. I love that Derek is there. I love that Veronica is there. I love that Anissa is there. You know, I love the fact that, you know, Darrell and CT are participating. You know, but if you're going to talk dirtiest players, like, where's Wes? Where's Abram? Where's, you know, where are some of these people that really, you know, could live up to that title? So to me, it's kind of
they
like Survivor.
They actually have real jobs.
Well, I know. Not Wes. but I think that this is the dirtiest players, the Dirty 30 is the way that, like, Survivor Game Changers was their namesake. You know, it was just a name. And then, you know, Game Changers. So we've seen the first two episodes. The first episode I thought was great. I love the fact that they cut so many people at once. I was wondering how that was going to happen. I knew that there was going to be some sort of redemption element, and there's a separate redemption house. We're still not getting how this redemption house is going to come into play. I wish, and the challenge does this a lot, where they like won't reveal stuff until like it actually happens. I wish that they would reveal to us a little bit more about what's going on, just so we could kind of see what happens. We can kind of like frame it into like what's going to happen next, but they don't really tell us a lot of what's going on ahead of time. A lot of this episode this past week focused on Redemption House. And I just thought, like, this is like if cameras were in the jury house of Big Brother. You know what I mean? Like, this would be kind of that vibe of like a jury house. Now, technically, they're still in the game, but like, I was wondering, why are they showing us so much of the Redemption House? You know, they're not going to do a redemption competition already. Why are they showing us so much of the Redemption House? And then I found out why they were showing us so much of the Redemption House, which we'll get into in a second. This was very, like, non-challenge heavy. You know, very little of this episode was kind of focused on the challenge. But the challenge was super confusing to me. I'm not mad at it. I kind of liked it. But so they were all sitting on these seats, and they were having tomatoes slingshot at them. But, Priscilla, explain this to me if you know it. Were the seats, like, going up and down or tilting? I didn't understand how some people would get, like, they were slanted. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
I think they said at a 40 or 45 degree angle.
Got it. Okay. I missed that part because I was like, why are people just randomly slipping off? I thought that, like, people were just quitting the
ropes to get settled, and then they couldn't. That's why Anissa got DQ'd.
Yeah, and yeah. I knew about the ropes, and I knew that, but I didn't realize that they were slanted. So I was just like, this is so weird. Like, are they just sitting there until they, like, their ass hurts, and then they jump off? Like, because I was like, I wonder how hard the tomatoes were hitting people. You know, tomatoes were getting thrown by a slingshot, and that has to hurt. But it looked like it was happening at, like, a pretty far distance. So I was like,
Most of them were hitting them in the crotch.
Yeah. But, you know, we were kind of, I was kind of like, the tomatoes can't be hitting hard enough where they're knocking people off their ledges. So, okay, the slant makes more sense. All right, good. So this whole idea of, like, there was 8 winners and 8 losers, but the 8 losers weren't immediately going to the elimination. They were still voting someone in. And then the losers might, it was a it was super complicated to me. I just thought, these are too many rules. There's too many directions here. I thought that they could have simplified it. And, you know, maybe the first one, which they do in previous seasons, the first person that goes out is automatically up for elimination and then they do a vote. This whole, like, 2 people are up, 2 men and 2 women are up. And then anyone else can get voted in. And then there's 8 winners who can't be voted in. And then they get to vote individually for both men and women. And then, you know, it to me, it just felt like a lot for very little payoff so far. Now, they could have something amazing. We don't even know how the second opponent is getting chosen yet. We're going to figure that out next week in episode 3 of this thing. We're going to finally figure out how they determine it. But this was a lot for very little payoff, Priscilla. Agree?
Agreed. Sorry, I had my mic off.
Yeah. I just felt like they could have simplified this much more. And I understand that what they're trying to do, because it's TJ's friggin' catchphrase, it's the dirtiest season ever. It's the dirtiest season ever. So I guess to them, dirty means incredibly complicated. Because I don't think so far it's been that dirty. I just think to them, dirty means complicated and twisty. Like, I think dirty means, like, there's a lot of twists and there's a lot of, like, you know, but I don't think they necessarily mean that people are going to go after each other.
Well, the redemption part, they may have a chance. It's not guaranteed from how he said that.
True. Well, and we don't know how that's going to work yet, but let's I want to talk about two things. One being Corey and his list of hookups and how that played a major factor in the show, and all 3 women, even knowing that they previously hooked up with him and he, like, did all these things, the 3 of them still all hooked up with him again. Like, ladies, what the? Stop giving the gender a bad name. Why are you hooking up with Corey? I know it's slim pickings this season, though, ladies. I understand. There's a lot of guys are unavailable or gross. But, you know, come on. Corey, Anissa, Camilla.
He's gross, in my opinion.
Oh, Kayla.
How he had 3 women last season. 2 of the 3 women last season are there.
I know. Well, no, I mean, all 3, and Anissa he hooked up with in a previous season. They, ladies, you can do better. This is a public service announcement. You can do better. Okay, I just wanted to get that across. Now.
Thank you for that.
I wanted to talk more strategically about Corey's choice to kind of lay everything out there and have, like, this hit list of, like, the quote-unquote strongest men on the group, or for the sake of argument, like, the vets, the proven champions, the CTs and the Johnnies and the Derricks. He has created a hit list. He has decided that he's going to take them out. He did that with Darrell. They're mad about it. They understand what's happening. And I thought that he made a wise decision with Darrell, to be perfectly honest. It just, gameplay-wise, he did what he needed to do. I mean, who wants to go up against Darrell? No one. So I understood his decision. But what do you think about him, like, just putting it all out there? Like, yeah, I'm taking all of you out.
Well, I mean, it's obvious that that's what you're there to do. But to start off to say that the very first thing with Sorrel, yeah, that's going to stick in somebody's craw. I mean, it isn't anything different than what Bananas does.
Well,
but Corey is smooth enough to do it.
But that's not what Bananas does, though. Bananas really does.
Yeah. He tells you in a funny, jokey way he's coming after you. I mean, just the way he's played in the past, you know he's going to do that.
No, but Bananas, there's a hierarchy. He'll go after rookies first. He'll go after those type of people. He'll, you know, and we've seen it time and time again. You know, him and CT haven't gone after each other in years. Him and Darrell haven't gone after each other. Like, there's like this like unspoken thing with them, or maybe it's spoken, you know. So Corey's doing the opposite, like, let's go after the top first, which I'm not mad at, but it's dumb to kind of put it out there, especially when, you know, this is a, you know, because people are voting, this is an alliance-based game.
Well,
so,
Tony and him were on the same season of Real World. All he had to do was say, Tony's my boy, you know, I have to go with him. Because they knew each other before Darrell.
Oh, yeah, of course. But I'm just saying in general. Like,
he could have worded it differently.
Oh, he absolutely could have. But, you know, I just think that in an alliance-type game, this was bad strategy on Corey. I'm dying because I'm very afraid that Jenna is going to be in trouble early, and I love Jenna, and I'm not happy about this. But, you know, I'm so happy that Tori is playing this season. I just talk smack about how, like, this is the dirtiest players, and Tori's a rookie. She's never played this season. She's never played a season of the challenge before, but I loved her in Are You the One. I loved her in Are You One Second Chances. I'm like, she is a comp beast. I love that we're getting some of these women that are comp beasts. Like, I love that now. Like, I love that we're getting the Tories and the Jennas and the Cara Marias and the Camillas and the, you know, we're getting some really strong women. And but, you know, they tend to be the older players, you know, the vets. So I love that, you know, Tori's coming into the mix. So I'm very happy about this. I'm very happy about this. I love Tori. So, and I'm worried. I'm very worried about Jenna. I don't think she's going to last long this season. And I'm very bummed out about this. But I just don't think this is her season. Let's talk about the Redemption House and what's going on there. You know, we see these little, you know, segments of them hanging out and doing things, and we see Devin's rap, and we see, which is, by the way, the most I've ever liked Devin, so that was good. But I kept thinking to myself, why are we seeing all these Redemption segments? You know, like, they can't be doing Redemption already. Like, what are they doing? Are they bringing them back? Do they like, is the way that people, for a while, I actually thought that somebody from Redemption battles somebody from the show, and whoever wins, like, goes back in, and the loser goes out, is what I actually thought was happening for some reason. That's what I thought was going to go down, and that's why they showed the Redemption House so much. But then we saw why this was such a big deal. And this is a situation that, you know, shows like Real World and stuff like that, shows with real camera crews, there's large segments of time where there isn't a camera. So when crazy things like this happen, you wish that you were able to see what went down so you could see how it transpired. But Simone, according to the show, Simone asked Shane, Tony's brother, to help her with her hair. He was not about that. She got upset about it. They had an altercation. He slapped her in the face. She scratched him in the face. Devin took Shane and like got him away. And then Simone like broke a glass bottle, kind of like, you know, to use as a weapon. It's kind of how the show portrayed it. Simone put out a statement, a very long statement, after the show, kind of telling her side of the story. And just to paraphrase her side of the story, it's like, hey, MTV made it look like this was a much lighter situation than it was. It made them think that like the hair thing is what set us off. And it wasn't. The hair thing actually happened several hours before. This was another argument that went down. There was no security. There was no camera people. It escalated quickly. He slapped me in the face. You know, I had to protect myself. And, you know, domestic abuse and you know, a man hitting a woman is never okay in any circumstance. And that was essentially her statement. So there's some controversy here about this. I'm ultimately glad that both of them went home because I was worried that only she would go home at first because you could visibly see the scratch marks. But apparently whatever happened, there was the rest of the cast witnessed it so they could see what went down and he slapped her. I also think that the glass bottle thing is scary. And that she kind of broke the glass bottle in order to use as a weapon, I think is a scary thing. So I'm ultimately glad both of them went home. I think that that is kind of crossing the lines of violence. So which the challenge has always had an interesting history with that. You know, they kind of, you know, the rules are kind of blurred as to, like, who goes home for physical violence and when. I think the last couple seasons they've been a little bit more uniformed about it, and maybe there's been, you know, enough instances where they've had to be, you know, a little bit more like, if you cross this line, you go home automatically no matter what. But I don't know. It's challenge has always been blurred with physical violence, Priscilla.
Yeah. The general rule of thumb is if you lay a hand on anybody, then you're out.
But we've seen things where people are like pushing each other, you know, I think it's like throwing a punch is what gets you out. I think like pushing is okay. I think like that kind of stuff. But I think like when you punch is the thing that sends you home.
Like you said, they've never been consistent on the rule of thumb there.
Yeah, it's never been
to them in the house, even in like real world and that. I've seen them have, you know, a family unquote family meeting before. Or they got him out of the house for a few days, then they talked about it and let him back in kind of thing. So there's they're lax.
Oh, yeah. And I think a lot of times they kind of, like, get the person out of the situation and then gauge, like, psychologically, like, if they think that they're able to continue or not. I really do think that that's kind of what happens. And in the situation, like, oh, they were super, but they're okay. They're you know, they're apologizing. They're all right. They'll kind of put them back in. And if it's a situation where it's like, oh God, they're still angry. Like if we put them back in, something might escalate or there might be another situation. I think they send them out. So I think that's what ultimately happens. So
well, speaking of escalation thing, you know, Ashley and left because of her temper. What are your thoughts of CT and a alternate coming in? To me, it should have just been simple.
you know, I have a couple different thoughts on it. One being, I love CT, and it would have been heartbreaking to see him miss the season because of the stupid visa thing. I wish that they would have, I mean, delayed the show for a day. I feel like they started filming immediately after they got there. You know, maybe they couldn't delay it. I don't know. They're on a tight timeline. I can get that. But, yeah, I mean, in terms of, like, overall general fairness, you know, it's not fair that
they didn't make it because of that reason. They wouldn't have been on the show. But because of the CT, in my opinion, they went ahead and let it fly. But that just like you said, they were only there an hour before they got notification that they had a 7 a.m. call. So they could have, like you said, postponed it a day.
Your mic is going in and out pretty badly. There's a lot of static and stuff.
Sorry.
No, it's okay. But I agree with you. I think it's because it's CT. And you know, the whole visa thing and the passport thing, I mean, that sucks. That's completely beyond his control. But I do agree with you. For the overall show, yeah, I mean, he shouldn't be able to participate after it already began. As for an alternate, I really thought last week, instead of taking three women out, they were going to say take two because Ashley's gone. So I was surprised when they still had to take three people out, and I wondered how they were going to deal with the uneven numbers of men versus women. And we found out how they were going to deal with it with an alternate, which I was surprised that they would put an alternate in that situation. I thought that they would, like I said, that one of the three women that were previously eliminated, either Amanda or Tori or Simone, would come back into the game. And, you know, whether that was...
Yeah, I mean, she got a bye. You know?
Oh, yeah, she got a bye week. Absolutely. Oh, absolutely. She got a bye week. She got a free week. And... you know, there's really no reason for it, especially there's no reason to have an alternate when we have a season of 30 people and you knocked out six people immediately. You know, take one of the women, put them in. I thought maybe they needed three and three, like three men and three women in the Redemption House for a very specific reason, and that's why they didn't do that. But, you know, again, as we've progressed on, we saw that, you know, the Redemption House is not going to be in play for a while. And, you know, they took out Shane and Simone. So, you know, they're going to have to do something with that anyway. So I thought the alternate thing was much weirder than the CT thing, to be honest. I also thought that maybe they wouldn't do anything. Like if CT couldn't get in, they would just keep Ashley just left and that was the end of it. So it was just weird how they handled it. It was weird. However, that being said, I'm happy that Brianna gets another shot because she really did get screwed by her partner her season. It was bad. I mean, I always hate to see people go home because of their partner. And her partner went home because he was homesick. It was brutal. So, you know, it's good that she got another shot. We'll see what happens with that. All right. Anyway, that's it for us for tonight. I want to thank everybody listening live, everybody who listens in archives. Next week, we will talk, I promise you, we will talk So Ezekiel Can Dance next week because I have a ton to say about it. We will talk more Big Brother. We will talk Bachelorette Finals is happening. We'll talk all about that. Have a good weekend, everyone, and we'll see you next week.
Night, everyone.